Thank you.
So just to clarify the Girsa question that we mentioned yesterday. Okay, let's try to move forward. Again, just a couple of quick points. I just have to make sure we're facing the right way. Just a couple of quick aros, and then to move on to the three or so small topics or that we still have left. In connection with Korban Pesach, so Eli Hyman brought to my attention that it's, you know, particularly interesting according to the Chizkuni, but just objectively, it's just very interesting that, you know, Korban Pesach partakes. I don't know, it should be. Is it on? It's not on. Okay. How do you do it? Yeah, I don't know why, again, they should just get us something separate so we're not. Oh, okay. Is that better? Yeah? Okay. Either way, speak to them again in the meantime. I don't know why. There's just. What? If they get something that gives us more flexibility so we don't depend on the room mic, we can also use it, but. And again, there was just a set up some sort of monitor also. Yeah, I'm not sure why it's so difficult to order those things. But, okay. So Ellie was just pointing out that the transition that takes place from Yom Yudalit to Leil Tesvav in the context of Korban Pesach, especially like of the formulation of the Chizkuni, which is that it's, you know, both part of, I mean, Yudalit is already part of and also separate from. But just objectively, of course, you have this korban, which, according to everything we've been saying, right, generates its own kind of quasi Yom Tov on Yom Yudalit itself, certainly from Chatzos, according to many, and maybe even from the morning, as we've discussed. And yet, the Ikar Achila, of course, is at night, and that's also the Zman of the beginning of Chag HaMatzos. And it's, you know, as Rabbi Gamliel said, it's, you know, Pesach, Matzah, Umar, Kol Shom, Gimel, Dvar, Melech, B'Pesach, L'Yotzei Dei, Chavoso. And according to many, Pesach is actually the mainstay, and the relationship and the rivalry between the Pesach and the Matzah for the night of the Seder is a really interesting issue. I've suggested in the past that as long as there is a Korban Pesach, certainly this is the view of the Netziv, I was trying to explain with the Rambam that, you know, as long as there's a Korban Pesach, that's the Ikar, even focal point of the Seder. And it's only, you know, when there is no Korban Pesach that Matzah kind of assumes a different status. Not as a replacement of the Korban Pesach, but in its own right. But again, that's a more subtle issue. But the point is that the this combination of Bayom and Ba'erev, and the Ba'erev as being the culmination of the Yom and also being the Tchilas HaYom at the same time is, you know, something that of course binds the 2 days together. But Eli was just also suggesting that in another respect, it echoes like maybe the original plan and cosmic time, I think is the way he wanted to put it, based on the view of quite a few of the Rishonim in their Parshanut and Bereishis and so on, as opposed to Klal Yisrael and the Davar Shebikdusha concept of time. And the fact that that is kind of integrated through Korban Pesach, which, as we'll discuss today more fully, is something that exemplifies, right, the singular stature of Klal Yisrael is actually very significant. I agree with that. What I added to it is that in addition, in the world of Kachim, as I think we've already noted, we often find that we don't apply the principle of Hayom Holech Achar Halayel. Kachim is the exception. Then there's a big discussion, you know, which parts of Kachim. But at least the world of Kachim retains that perspective of Hayom Holech Lifnei Halayel. And that's, you know, indicated in quite a few dinim. So the idea that in Korban Pesach, you know, you'd have the Yom, the Lila would be a continuation of the Yom, even as with respect to the Bekomos Rosechem parts, you know, of Chagamatzos, it's, you know, the Achila, which is part of the, you know, Tchila of the next day that begins at Lel Tesvav, all that kind of works in very well. So that's aura number one, very quickly. Aura number two, with regard to Chagigas Yedaled, if I didn't say it previously, I'm not, you know, sure, Josh wasn't sure if I said it, but if I didn't, I certainly meant to, and that is that the fact that the Rambam codifies Chagigas Yedaled in the second last halacha, pretty much, of Hilchos Korban Pesach, rather than right in the beginning, I think it's certainly very intentional. And of course, it, you know, clearly reinforces its status as a reshus, as opposed to a chova, as a kiyum rather than a chiyuv. And of course, its focus that the mitzvah that's being counted, as we discussed, is not the eating of the Chagigas Yedaled, but when there is a Chagigas Yedaled, the fact that there's a special din nosar to it. So all of those are very good reasons why the Rambam would put it, you know, at the very end. It's the pre-nosar din. You know, it doesn't apply all times. It's a kiyum, not a chiyuv. And say, and it's an enhancement of Korban Pesach. And maybe that's the bigger idea. Namely, that Korban Pesach remains completely ikar to Chagiga. The extent to which Chagiga is even going to be brought is a function of whether or not, A, there's counter pressure, and that probably also reflects, but if not, then the separate point, whether it's enhancing and facilitating of the Korban Pesach. So the placement of the Rambam, the emphasis of the Rambam, everything the Rambam does with Chagigas Yedaled, and then in light of that, the fact that Chagigas Yedaled precedes Korban Pesach as a reference in Hilchos Yom Tov, all of that works in very, very well. The fact, you know, again, as I said, the point of the view in the Mishnah of Melech, that you would actually bring the Chagiga earlier in the day, and yet the impact that it has on Yisra Malacha is tied to the Zman of the Korban Pesach, that too is a great example of it being Tafel Leikar, and being something which facilitates, but of course doesn't stand independently, except, you know, once it's there and it's chalos and it's contributed, and, you know, legabe, it's nosar. So Tani also asked me the question. I mean, last year when we were learning chulin, and we were talking about, you know, when whether and when, you know, the Rambam would count a mitzvah reshus, like shechita. So mostly we were taking the position that shechita is a kiyum, not a chiyuv, because of course you don't have to eat meat. But when you do eat meat, you have to do it bederech shechita, and that when you do it that way, it's, you know, it's a kiyum. But there was a line in the Ketzav Mishnah who suggested a stronger formulation, and that is kishi yirtza lechal basar chayiv lishcha. That in the context of already being interested or needing, you know, to do something in order to eat, then it becomes a chiyuv. I don't think that's the real pshat in the Rambam. That's something we talked about last year. But Tani was asking me, like, would the Kesef Mishnah think, you know, that such a, you know, phenomenon is possible with regard to Chagigas Yedaled? And my answer is no. Because again, in the end of the day, anytime you want to eat, you need a shechita. But Chagigas Yedaled is a real reshus in every respect. And that's why the Rambam even calls it. The Rambam doesn't call it shechita. You know, he calls shechita mitzvah. He doesn't call it a reshus. So the fact that it's not ever, you know, obligatory, even in the context of Korban Pesach, is something that militates against that. But even more to the point, it's a tafel to something else. Shechita is, given the context, either a kiyum, a chiyuv, given the reality that you're in. But Chagigas Yedaled is always a facilitator, something that highlights and underscores something about Korban Pesach. Again, that's why it's in the end, and that's why everything else that we've been discussing. So in light of that, just one other point, and that is, again, I alluded to one of them, and Josh brought up the other one, that is that the Rambam, you know, certainly doesn't imply, we talked about, you know, Tosis's discussion, whether in a year that Pesach is called Yos B'Shabbos, would that affect the Seder plate? Like, would you not bring, you know, Shnei Tavshilin, because actually you don't really bring Chagigas Yedaleh. So we talked briefly about the different views in Tosis and the Rosh related to that problem. And one of the things I mentioned very quickly was that what about Bizman Hazel Legabri? Because they go Zecha L'Korban. But, you know, if it's already a Zecha, should you bother with the Yedaleh? And is there any impression that, you know, again, the you know, situation, the Chol Yos B'Shabbos would matter. So it's clear that the Rambam is unqualified. Bizman Hazem Mevi'in Al HaShulchan Shnei Minei Basar Echad Zecher LePesach V'Echad Zecher LeChagiga. Hagos Maimunios is in Perek Ches Halacha Aleph Luchos Chametz Matzah. Hagos Maimunios has, you know, part of the discussion of Bali Tosis. You do, you don't. His own, you know, version of that. But in the Rambam, it's clear that you don't make distinctions from year to year. But what's also intriguing, this Josh mentioned to me the other day, is that in Perek Ches Halacha Beis, when the Rambam quotes the Manishtana, so the Manishtana of Zman HaMikdash is Shekol HaLeilos Anu Och, includes Shekol HaLeilos Anu Och and Basar Tzli, Shalukum Bavushal, Balai Lazeh Kulo Tzli. And the Lecha Mishnah already raises this question, and that is that it seems to be Shalok Hilchasa, because Bentema, you know, was the one who believed that, you know, you have to mimic, you know, Chagigas Yedaleh should mimic the Dinim of Korban Pesach. According to him, that's where the Gemara has a discussion, does Chagigas Yedaleh need to be Tzli? Again, Balei Tosfos say they paskin like Bentema. I think I mentioned that the other day, the one on Kuf Yedaleh on base. But the Rambam certainly, in the end of Hilchos Korban Pesach, when he talks about Chagigas Yedaleh, makes it clear that he paskins against Bentema. So if he paskins against Bentema, then how can you say Kulo Tzli? That's basically the Lechem Mishnah's question. Here, Perek Ches Halacha base. Just one second. He says, Ha'isa b'mishnah Perek Avri Psachim, and so on. Umukila b'pesach sheni, Perek El Drama, Libid Ben Tema, etc. Ulfiza filo ha'beit, and fine. So then he says, Yafagav d'lav hilchosuk ben tema, etc. Vanan kaim lekistam masnisen. Here's, yeah, so this, he basically is asking, Lefizeh, afilu, one second, those are Rabbeinu Manoach, sorry, I'm reading the wrong one, I find the question. Rabbeinu Nur de Pasak, the Lokravuna, and then he asks, Hashti Yesh Temal de Rabbeinu, the Pasak, the Korban Pesach, Perikin Allah Yud Gimel, Kamas Nisa de Chagiga Nachalis, the Shnei Yom and Velayla Echad, the Loka Ben Tema, Him came the Didan, Vada in the Chalis Tzli, the Leson Akesha, the Ben Tema, the Leson Lomar Halaila Zekulot Tzli, Avali Didan, the Chagiga in the Chalis Tzli, right? Velomatina Lemebra Kulot Tzli. Him came Tema Bidibrabenu, the Kanyar and Pasak Ben Tema, the Sham Pasak. So again, this is an interesting ha'ara of the Lecha Mishnah. But in light of everything we've said, it doesn't answer the technical question, that remains. But I think the bigger idea is, again, in a way it parallels, if the Mishnah Malach is right, the phenomenon of saying Chagiga and Korban Pesach, you know, for Isra Malacha, even if indeed Chagiga starts earlier. Meaning the significance of Chagiga, even when the dinim have a discrepancy with Korban Pesach, in the end of the day is overwhelmed by, because its function is simply to facilitate Korban Pesach. So even though, you know, in a certain respect it's not true, because if you don't pass like Ben Tema, you could eat the Chagigas, Yudalid, you know, Bebishol, Beshaluk, etc. But at the end of the day, the only reason you're eating it is as a tufel to enhance and to highlight the Yom Tov character of the Korban Pesach. And as such, you know, the message of the dominance of Tzli, even if it's technically, you know, inaccurate, is mostly still an important message. Okay, so that is something else that I wanted to highlight very quickly. Okay, now let's move on to the question that we were discussing in Tosas. And first we'll discuss the one that Tosas doesn't discuss, and then we'll discuss the one that they do discuss. Okay, so the one they don't discuss is, Stephen? Where's Stephen? Yeah, there he is. So, what's a question that Tosas doesn't discuss about how Ahura Ma? Tosas discusses the question why Rabbi Ben Sefer didn't show up, right, for the Korban Pesach. But the question he doesn't discuss, which we also want to talk about, is what? Say again? Yeah. Why was the Ahura Ma subject to the death penalty? That seems overly hard. Where do you get this din from? The Gemara says it unequivocally, but they don't explain at all, you know, what it is based on. So this gets you into a small discussion, but I think an interesting discussion right on this topic, and on the Korban Pesach again. You know, we're taking our shots while we can on the Korban Pesach. So the one possibility is that that this is some separate halacha, not a din per se that a nachri who eats a Korban Pesach is chay misa. Maybe this person was, particularly disrespectful, flagrantly, undermining, the security, the integrity of what it is that was going on in the Mikdash. The Netziv, I don't know if you saw it. Did you get to see it, Stephen? No? The Netziv says he was Nichnas Bazara Bitumas Goy, and then it was like a hurrah show. Okay. Interesting in its own right, something to think about and to, keep track of, that phenomenon. But then it's irrelevant to us at the moment. It's a curiosity and it's something for future reference, maybe. File it away. The Minchas Chinuch also has a very innocuous suggestion. Yonatan? Which he then just, he's not so excited about, but namely? Well, the idea that this is a violation of Shabbos B'nai Noach is actually not a small matter. That would be a big matter. But the one that that's the one we're going to discuss mostly. I'm kind of just getting around the other ones. What's the other possibility that he mentions very quickly? Yeah? Yeah. Either that he violated, we'll get to the Gezel part in just a second. We're going for the most innocuous. So either it's a kind of a rush show, not reflective, or even before he gets to Gezel, he says, well, maybe this Arma obviously wasn't such a respectable fellow. So, you know, maybe when they, you know, investigated him, you know, maybe they came up with other Sheva Mitzvah Noach, you know, offenses. So they killed him for something like that. And he actually quotes the discussion of the Rambam and the Ramban in Parshas Vayishlach, which of course is the Shechem story. And, you know, why was it the argument between Yaakov and Banav, whether or not the city of Shechem really deserved the death penalty or not? And, you know, did they deserve it for what happened in that Parsha, or, you know, for other infractions along the way? So obviously, if this has nothing to do with our particular topic, then, you know, it explains the phenomenon, but it doesn't shed any light to us. The other possibility is the one that you mentioned also, right, which is Gezel. Maybe there was a violation of Gezel. That would be based on what? Kachim Kalim is Mamun Gavoa, even on the part that is eaten by the Bailim. That's, it's like Mishuchan Gavoa Kazachu, even the Kachim Kalim that is eaten to the Bailim. And therefore, a non-Jew illegally getting that is stealing from Gavoa. And that would constitute Gezel. And Gezel, of course, is one of the Shevets Bnei Noach. And that would justify the death penalty. Okay, that's an interesting idea. This is based on Rashi and Bava Kamma, Daf Yud Beis, and Rashi and Kiddushin Daf Nun Gimel, etc. Far more intriguing, right? So go. Those are three. I'm sure there are many, many more. Again, this third explanation is already, you know, more, you know, part of the fabric of what took place, as opposed to being a harasha, or, you know, bodkuhu, you know, they found him and they got him on some other, you know, crime, right? You know, they got him on a parking ticket and then, you know, they put him in jail for 50 years because they couldn't convict him on anything else. You know, here it's more than that. But the idea that, you know, eating basar kadshim, you know, illegally constitutes a gezel, that already is part of the story. And that would have consequences for other kachim talim. Obviously, it wouldn't be limited to Korban Pesach, correct? However, you know, our, I think, instincts, you know, are that this should be even more part of the story. It should be maybe, or could be, Korban Pesach related. So here is where the Minchas Chinuch makes an interesting connection. Right, and that is? Right. I mean, there's an Isser for a non-Jew to eat. And the question is, what does that mean? Right? It says, it's a funny phrase in the Torah. Right? Kol benecha lo yochal bo. Typically, the Torah is not addressing non-Jews, especially in a very Jewish context. I'll just say this now because it'll help us. In a context which actually really catapults the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, right? Meaning, you know, Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Torah uses this interesting expression, kol benecha le'yochal bo. It's like a statement of fact. So is it an azhara addressed to kol benechar lo yochal bo? Any benechar hearing this, you know, or not hearing it, should know lo yochal bo? Is that the point? Or is it a statement to Klal Yisrael? That you, in Klal Yisrael, should make sure that a benechar doesn't eat this. That's an intriguing idea. A little bit like, you know, getting back to lo yeachel, right? The idea that sometimes you're obligated, you know, to refrain. Usually, you're obligated to refrain from actions of your own. And occasionally, it's your responsibility to preclude, you know, the actions of others. So kol b'necha l'yochabo, if it isn't a statement of fact which says, you know, don't, you know, they're not allowed, you know, or but from your point of view, they're not allowed, or you're not. And then the question is, it's you're not allowed to make, you have to make sure that they don't eat, or is it an iser l'ha'achil, you know, nochri, korban pesach? The iser is to be machil, or the iser is not to prevent them from being uchel. And what kind of iser is that? I'll just add, because I am very excited about this topic, although I'm just going to touch it now, that this is kimat the first thing that the Torah tells us. It says zos, again, it's like a drum beat, you know, in Parshas Bo. You have the story, and then you have zos chukas haTorah, you know, those chukas haPesach, I'm sorry, kol b'nechar lo yochal bo. Right? So like, it's like that's the first thing? You just went through this edifying, you know, enlightening episode. And then like, you know, number one, it's very rare for the Torah to sum up and apply in the middle of the story. Right? There's plenty of other opportunities in the other parshios to elaborate, you know, what's going to be Lidoros. So it's already strange. And the language, Zos Chukas HaPesach, is already a very strong language. So, but then, like, you know, we're waiting with bated breath. Like, what's the Torah going to tell us? You know, Zos Chukas HaPesach. The most important thing about Pesach is Kol B'necha L'yochal Bo. A Pesach which is both ambiguous and strange, Miman HaShach. All of a sudden, we're being, you know, in this context with the drumbeat, we're addressing the Nachri. Or we're addressing the Yisrael, but not about what he should do, but what he should prevent from the Nachri. Or the what not what he should do, right, but what he shouldn't do, but in terms of facilitating others, right? Of the three options, Iser Machil, Iser, you know, la harsho slo lechol, or the iser to the nachri himself lo lechol. Like that's what it is. That's the drumbeat, right? It's a strange phenomenon. The truth is that the halacha is a strange halacha, right? Heichan matzino in the world of kadshin, you know, such an iser. The truth is, it's benechar also has a double meaning. Right? Kol benechar lo yochal bo, and this is a discussion in the already in the Targum and the Farshim, but of course in the Halacha. And that is, it refers to a nechar, nachri, and it also refers to a meshumad. Typically, a meshumad is not prohibited from eating kodship. And of course, it's followed by and connected to the Iser of an Orel. Also not typically, you know, an exclusion, an Iser of Kadshim. At least not in this way. In the Chidushi Agriz, he has a whole discussion, I think it was Trumos, about the status of Orel and Kadshim and what's unique about it in Korban Pesach, you know, Ayin Shem. All right, Orel, you know, is connected to Korban Pesach. By the words, it's certainly a prerequisite. They're the two, you know, mitzvah saseh sheish ben kares. Hard to believe that that's a coincidence. Clearly not. So the whole, you know, the drumbeat, the formulation, the ambiguity, all of the, each of the shitos, right? And then all of it is just very strange. It's very peculiar. Okay, so the question is, what does it mean, and what is it, firstly, and then what does it mean? So the Rambam Shita is what?
You can't be
macha. Rambam never says that the nachri cannot be ocha. There's a debate among the Achronim. What will the Rambam think about the Nochri being Ochel? Right, if he wants to be Ochel. Or, well, you know, more to the point, let's talk about the Meshumad. Same thing, because he's included as well. Right? Is it also for Meshumad to eat the Korban Pesach? Or is it just also, you know, for someone else to be Machel him to eat the Korban Pesach? Right? That's a more relevant question, I'd say, than, you know, than the non-Jew part. Mechaschinach, among others, wonders. But the fact is that there's no lashon, right, that makes it clear that the, is it a kol shekein? I've suggested in the past that even if there is an isur for a meshumah to eat korban pasach, right, maybe the isur is, you know, because he's being machal himself, not because he's being ochal. And that might be consequential, as we'll see in a second. Anyways, before I tell you what I think is really going on, take a second. I think it's already clear where we're going. So the Minchas Chinuch links this question in a more technical way to our problem, right? How so? Eitan Sokolov?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen that.
Waiting a chance? Okay. Nice. Natan, I like the new sign.
It's not my doing.
I hear. Okay. Shmuel Siklik?
I'm not sure.
How does he connect it? Simcha Leib? Where's Simcha Leib? He's probably here. How does the Minchas Chinuch connect this question to the problem that we're dealing with? Let's not lose sight. I mean, I'm taking a little advantage to get in some Korban Pesach issues. A, because I like them, think they're important. B, because I think that everything is connected, so it's important. But the connection is to our Gemara. I mean, our Gemara is very remarkable. It tells a story, but the story teaches us a remarkable halacha. We're trying to figure out, A, is it a mainstream halacha? B, right, what are its implications? So again, if we have the Netziv, or they got him on some other charge, or they got him on Gezel, so then, okay, it's a din in Kachim Kalim. It doesn't reveal anything about Korban Pesach. Right? But, you know, maybe this is something unique to Korban Pesach. So what could that be? So the Minchas Chinuch links it to this issue. How so? Ellie Goldberg? You're back in the Museum of Metropolitan Art.
Yeah, I didn't see them.
Or the Louvre. You're in the Louvre? You don't pronounce the R.
My dining room.
Better than the Louvre.
Yeah.
You painted it yourself?
No. W. Hodges.
Okay, we'll give him credit. So what's the story? What's the connection?
I didn't see the Minchas Chinuch either.
Oh, you get a chance. Okay. So
he says that if it's only an Isser Lahachil, it's not even his Isser. How can you put him to...
It's not an Isser Lahachil. He said, then we're stuck. But if you hold that the Isser is Lechol, then maybe violate Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Because there's an Isser Lechol. Correct? That's what he says. And the Smag does say that there's an Isser Lechol. And in the bottom of the, you know, the new Minchas Chinuch, which are very, very helpful, they point out as well that the Tosa Rosh and Yevamos, right, and Daf Ayin Aleph and Ayin Omid Beis discusses whether or not the Azhara of Kol B'Necher LaYochabo applies to the non-Jew, like is the Torah hey, could the Torah be speaking to non-Jews, right, in its addressing them, is an interesting question. Right, that seems to be part of the discussion of the Rishonim, which, as the Minchas Chinuch points out, is a little strange, because doesn't the Torah address B'nai Noach here and there? Of course, when the Torah addresses B'nai Noach in Parshas Bereishis and Noach, you know, in the beginning of the creation, when it's addressing, you know, humanity, you know, that's one thing. This is not, you know, this is to answer the Minchas Chinuch. Does the Torah continue to address, to charge, to, you know, be mitzaveh, you know, non-Jews, even after, you know, there is a Jewish people? And if so, what's the breakdown? Even after Matan Torah, that's possible? Or maybe only lifnei Matan Torah? All right. So the Smag and the Tosa Rush weighs this, think that it's possible that this refers to non-Jews. Okay. I think there are two answers to the question. One is indeed the Torah does address non-Jews, and then the debate is, they say, at which phase and point in the Torah? That's an intriguing idea, intriguing issue. But there's also perhaps another issue, and that is maybe there's something here that is relevant conceptually to Klal Yisrael. It's important for Klal Yisrael to know that a ben nechar, kol ben nechar le'yochal bo. In which case it's true that the effect is to a ben Noach, but, you know, it's not there to warn the ben Noach. It's there to warn the ben Noach, but principally to make a point about the nature and the character of Korban Pesach. Yes, I think that's very possible. In any case, take a step back for a moment. The Minchas Chinuch says, if you hold like the Rambam and the Chinuch who follows the Rambam, who focuses on lo yachil, basically, then in Ochanami, we don't understand this halacha. But if you focus on the Smag, right, and there is an Isra Achila, so what you could say is, this is Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and Azaroso, Zui Misaso. Of course, in light of what I just suggested, you know, I guess there are two problems with that. Number one, in light of what I just suggested, which is, even if this is addressed to a Ben Noach, or non-Jew, if the reason it's addressed to a non-Jew, you know, the real audience is still Klal Yisrael, then does that really constitute, you know, a good example of Azarasa Zui Misaso? Meaning, is it all Azarasa Zui Misasos, or only the ones that are really addressed to B'nai Noach, you know, as the primary audience? That's question number one, I guess. Question number two is, well, if that's the case, and this is the question that Minchas Chinuch deals with, namely, Tani, if that's the case,
why isn't it one of the Shev Mitzvahs?
If that's the case, why isn't it on the list? Right? Why is it not on the list of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? If it's a Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, and therefore it's Hasaraso Zui Misaso, so you can explain the Gemara. Okay? But why isn't that on the list? It's not, I mean, as the Gemara says in a bunch of places, you know, Sanhedrin 9 Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara wonders whether, you know, B'Noach is Mitzvah B'Kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara says, well, then there would be eight. And when the Sefer HaChinuch speaks about Losach mode, and he says it applies to Ben Noach, he says, ah, so why isn't there eight? Right? So that's what the Minchas Chinuch is saying here. If this really is, in its own right, this is addressed to the non-Jew, and therefore it's Azaraso Zui Misaso, and therefore you know, it's Sheva Mitzvah Noach. So then why isn't it on the list? Okay? Says the Minchas Chinuch. What does he say? Ezra? Rotblat?
He says because it's temporary.
So he has several answers.
Time.
One is, what do you mean it's temporary? Not temporary.
Meaning that Karmen Pesach, that Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are only dinim that exist forever, even at
because it's right. He says, the list of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are only things that apply, right, b'chol zman and b'chol makom. And this is not something that is b'chol zman and b'chol makom. It's only in makom beis hamikdash and b'zman shebeis hamikdash. Okay, we're going to weigh that answer in a second. That's one suggestion. Correct?
Yeah.
But according to that suggestion, before I 1 second, is it any less Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, or just this is just an explanation why it's not on the list? It sounds like what he's saying is. That's why it's not on the list. Okay, what I'm going to make a point in a minute is, maybe for that reason it's not Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which then might undercut the whole point, which is, do we always say about everything Azarasa Zui Misaso? Or only really Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? He means it in a more technical way. The question is more technical. Why isn't it on the list? Why aren't there 8? And the answer is technical. The 7 are universal. Komakom b'chozma. Okay. Inami, what's another answer, Ezra?
I think he says it's not Mefurish Bakra. We're only listing things that are Mefurish Bakra.
This is Mefurish Bakra. And we only mention things that are not Mefurish Bakra. Isn't that what he says, Ezra? Okay, good. Okay. Again, okay, that one certainly is technical. Okay, what else? Anything else?
That's the only 2 answers I saw.
The 3rd answer. Very important answer. Well, again, he sees it as more technical. What's the other answer? Sam? Kosloff?
Yeah, I know that we saw, I can't remember what it is.
I think it's really, well, I mean, I think you're going to agree with me. At least I hope so. Okay. That should give you a hint, maybe. Right? You're saying you realize why it should give you a hint, but now you just have to connect the dots. Right? Lior.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Rebbe.
3rd answer, a factual question. You know that? He says, Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach are things where, that are also for Yisrael and for Ben Noach. But here, here basically we're distinguishing between Yisrael and Ben Noach, right? And therefore, it's not part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Okay, those are 3 technical explanations why eating basar korban pesach, is asur to Ben Noach, is mechayev him. Misa explains the Gemara, but none of them, but all for all 3 reasons, or one of them, it's not on the list of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. But according to the Rambam, Udi Mei, right, there's nothing to say. Well, so what I'd like to suggest is 2 things. Number one, this idea that this is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, I think can be looked at from a much more principled way. To even wonder, to explain better why it's not on the list, not just technically. But again, given that, you wonder whether you haven't undermined, I think there's a good chance that you've undermined, you know, the automatic assumption of Asarasa Zui Misasa in the process. So I'd like to say the following. What's singular about the list of Sheva Mitzvei Noach typically is the dialectic between, I would say, two factors, and one of them is dialectical. Okay. The dialectical one is Sheva Mitzvei Noach is a group of laws, right, that apply to Bnei Noach and to Klal Yisrael equally or universally, you know, on a human level, but at the same time, usually, no, I'll say in all cases, at the same time, typically, also distinguish Klal Yisrael from Bnei Noach. In other words, it is a list, you know, that is both shared and distinguishing. And I don't think that that is at all coincidental. It's shared because, and this is point number two, it's a list of, a very small list of laws, right, that constitute a minimal, you know, society of purpose. Without these laws, you know, ish es chaver chayim b'la'o, on a, you know, social interaction level, you'll have just chaos. But equally important, more important, overlappingly important, is the fact that there'll be no kedusha at all. Like, man's distinctiveness from animal, you know, would really be jeopardized. Right? So all the Sheva Mitzvei Noach kind of represent some minimal, you know, focus on, you know, the potential of man. At the same time, and for the same reason, Sheva Mitzvei Noach must overlap and equally must distinguish, right, Bnei Noach and Klal Yisrael. Because in every area where there's going to be meaning and purpose and standards, right, Kedushas Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, the Taryag as opposed to the Sheva, is going to have to, in one way or another, add tremendous amount of dimension, nuance, etc. Now you have to go through each of the Sheva Mitzvei Noach for this, but as I've tried to point out many times, even the ones that seem, you know, the greatest in overlap are subtly different and end up highlighting, in some cases, even in a more acute way, right, the differences, whether it's dinim or the laws of, you know, marriage or relationships or gezel or kashrus, whatever it is, right? The overlap is critical, and the overlap also ends up being, under a microscope, a way of discerning what is singular about Kedushas Yisrael and the gap that remains. So it's all about the commonality and distinctiveness at the same time, and both themes are very important. At the same time, and for this reason, that's point number two, Sheva Mitzvei Noach are about minimal and important standards, right, that again sustain some sort of meaningful society. Because of that, right, some of the issues that the Minchas Chinuch kind of highlights are, I think, very important. Like something which isn't b'chol moko b'chol zman, you know, is unlikely to be a pillar of Sheva Mitzvei Noach in the way that we understand it. not impossible, but unlikely. Right? Because we're talking about broad applications and categories. Just 1 second. Broad applications and categories, which would seem to be, which would seem to mandate that they apply in a more ubiquitous, you know, and elemental, you know, way. Moreover, the idea that, well, you're not going to have Shemitz B'nei Noach, which is based on a discrepancy between, a total discrepancy between B'nei Noach and Yisrael, because that's inconsistent with the rest of the list. Yeah, I'm not suggesting that Cheskinos had these things in mind. What I'm saying is, he did some good work for us, and it, you know, it's food for thought, you know, about not just the list, but about the character of the list. So at the end of the day, if you don't have the overlap with Klal Yisrael, if it's a situation where B'nei Noach, yes, and Klal Yisrael, no, then that's not Shemitz B'nei Noach. Right? That's not, on both levels, it's not something which, you know, is likely to be a sustaining principle of even of a minimalist purposeful society, nor is it something which both, you know, advances the commonality, even as it, you know, distinguishes, you know, the singularity of the two groups, right? Because all it is the discrepancy. So it could be that what Chinuch is saying, as for the Mefurish Bakra, that I don't have any take on. But I just wonder whether or not, if you look at it this way, so basically, Pesach, does it really, once you've explained it this way, can you still say Azharaso Zui Misaso? Maybe you'd only say Azharaso Zui Misaso, right? Because these are like elemental core principles, you know, of the faith. Again, if the idea of Azharaso Misaso is, as some Mefarshim explain, well, they only have 7, and therefore, you know, where there's an, you know, acute, you know, level of enforcement, you know, how many are there? Okay, so now it turns out there are not 7, there are 12, there are 15, whatever it is, the same idea. Or, you know, the idea that, you know, we don't have a nuanced legal system, so not only is the expectation, but let's say, not only is the expectation that you adhere to, you know, a very small group of commandments greater, but also, you know, maybe it doesn't sustain different levels of punishment. Maybe. But if the bigger idea is that Azharasam Zui Misasam is because these are elemental, you know, standards, is that really true for things that don't belong in the list of Shemitz B'nei Noach, even if, right, they are obligatory or infractions? That would be an interesting question. However, what I'd like to substitute for all that is a slightly different, you know, perspective. Sam, what do you think?
About Rebbe? The
perspective? Yeah. What could we substitute for?
Rebbe?
I mean, is it related to what the comment from earlier that I made?
Yeah.
I mean, should I just say what I think is another way of explaining some of it?
Yeah.
I mean, that the Korban Pesach kind of represents this idea of Jewish chosenness.
Yeah.
Right, that's I mean, and also in contrast to Chag HaMatzot. Yeah, I don't know if that's the other...
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about. Okay, so let me give you my take on that. Going back to some of the questions that we mentioned before. Again, the Torah, right in the context of, in Parshas Bo, it can't even wait till the event is over. He's already drawing the legal conclusions. The Dori Doris. So Chukas HaPesach. And what's the first thing? Negative campaigning? Right, we're bombarded with negative campaigning, so we're no longer surprised by it. But in addition to being distasteful, it's also very, very deflating, not very attractive, right? So Kol Benecha LeYochabo is the first and best thing we can say about the Korban Pesach? In my opinion, the answer is yes. It's not negative campaigning. What we're trying to say is exactly what Sam just said, which is the Korban Pesach is a Korban which basically highlights the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael, as does the holiday, Pesach, of course, and the Hashgacha that it represents. But particularly, this unique relationship that the Ribbono Shel Olam has with Knesset Yisrael, and that goes in the other direction as well. Ad sheyishkatu Eloheim le'ineim, like this was like a major, change and a milestone for Klal Yisrael. And, the Ribbono Shel Olam responded, Loi de malach, loi de shliach, ala kadosh baruch hu bi'atzmo, pasach al batei, avoseinu b'mitzrayim. This is like a moment that cemented, this bond and this relationship in a very significant way. In that respect, there's so much evidence, and this, of course, relates to the whole topic that we just finished, the idea that Chagigas Yudalid reflects and the Korban Pesach reflects and engenders both. Like a Yom Tov, what is that Yom Tov? Right? It's the Shechitas Korban Pesach, which, by the way, is an outsized Shechita, right? And it's Koveya also for the Minui. And, it's the role of Shechita in Korban Pesach, as we discussed last year. We were talking about Shechita, and I mentioned again this year, in terms of the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvos, and many, 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 many issues connected with it, right? Shechita plays an outsized role because the Ad Sheyishkatu Eloheim Le'ineim, and, all of that. So this was like a moment of Amunah. The Darshanim, they have this famous comment. I don't like to mix Halakha and Drush, but, this is a famous one. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev always is quoted as saying that, Klal Yisrael refers to Pesach as Chag HaPesach. Ribbono Shel Olam in the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos. That's because, our perspective is, Eloi de Malach, whatever. But basically, the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us a compliment, B'bihilu Yatzam Mitzrayim. And we're giving him a compliment, and that is, Shepasach al batei avoseinu b'mitzrayim. So, Mika amcha Yisrael goyachad ba'aretz. So the duality of the relationship is something which is really accentuated in Korban Pesach. There's so much evidence that Korban Pesach is a kind of korban of emunah. The truth is that the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet says it, and other places too. But he even practically uses that language. Here. In these, Shalom Nachum and HaPesach Yisrael Meshumad. Hakashanu Osam Otsala Osu Zikaron Shabbos. Osos Man, Lechasos Tachas Kanfe Yashchina. Wow. Vinichnasnu, like the Haggadah, right? Vinichnasnu Bebris HaTorah Veho Emunah. In Roish and Nachum, you know, the Mishu Hefach Mizah, she Yotzim and Klau, the Kafar Bemuna. Therefore, while Yotzim and them are Betalmud Lufamim, Svarahu, right? Sometimes Svaras are more powerful. The Over, the Hechel, Mimenu, the Benechar, Over Belabe, and Bamalka, Shein, Bamaisa. Okay? The next mitzvah, Shal Nachum and Apasach, Lagir, Vetoshav. Right? Mishrosh mitzvah zumashu kasavti, etc. Bavusha korban zel zecher cheruseinu uboinu bebris nemana im Hashem Yitzvar. Roi shalai yana barak osam sheshlimu beemuna. Beim Yisraelim gemurim. Binin harchaka sa'arel meachilaso. Connected to all this as well. I always like to quote the Mechilta and the Sifrei, you know, each have this comment that Rashi also quotes in both places, in Shmos and in Bamidbar, that, you know, Yachol, you would think from the Psukim that every ger who's Nizgayer would bring a Korban Pesach, no matter what time of the year. In Kamash Malon, that's not true. Very strange Havamina. Right? No one ever said it about Korban Shtei Alechem or the Omer or the any Musafim. Like, why would you think that a ger has to bring a Korban Pesach in July? Right? But there's so many aspects of Korban Pesach. You know, why does Korban Pesach require Mila? And why is it an Asay Sheyeshbo Karis? But in a way, the Torah already highlighted this, not by negative campaigning, but by saying, Zos Chukatz HaPesach, you want to understand Korban Pesach? Kol Benechar L'Yochal Bo. It really is different. Why is it? Because it's a Korban Emunah. It's what distinguishes Klal Yisrael. And therefore, non-Jew here is fundamentally excluded. That's what I meant when I said before. Even according to the Smad, that maybe it's an Azhar to the non-Jew, but what, all of a sudden the Torah and the context of Korban Pesach speaking to the non-Jew? Also, but primarily speaking to the Jew by speaking to the non-Jew. It's telling Klal Yisrael, I want to pronounce that a non-Jew is not allowed to eat this korban. How will it be expressed? Maybe according to the Smagul Dine. It's an Isser for the non-Jew to eat it. But why are we telling that in the middle of the Jewish story of Korban Pesach? Because what it highlights is something singular about Korban Pesach, the drumbeat. And a Smishomed, who's typically not excluded from Korbanos per se, right? I don't want to get into the Mumar issue right now, but still this is a different status. But Ein Lecha, Ein Aroi, Yoser, Mi Mishomed, right, when it comes to the Korban of Amunah, which is exactly what the Chinuch is telling us. In my opinion, that's why the Rambam thought that the Isser focuses not on the Nachri, not even on the Meshumad, but on Klal Yisrael. It would be offensive for a Klal Yisrael person in good standing for the sake of Kiruv or whatever it is, you know, to give Korban Pesach to a Nachri or to a Meshumad, because that might be fine in other contexts, but in this context, it reveals a total lack of appreciation of what this korban is about. So the real Isser is to be machil. And the Chinuch points out, the Rambam seems to hold this way, there is no malchus. The Chinuch says, "Ketz alav shem amaisa." Of course, why is that alav shem amaisa if you're being machil? But and then this whole discussion, Kazayas, yes, no. I don't want to go into details. Maybe another time we'll fill in the blanks. But the bigger idea is that it's not the hachala per se. It's the lack of appreciation of what the korban is really all about. And even, that's what I meant before when I said, even if the Rambam holds that Meshumad Sha'achal also violates, I'm not sure that he violates as an ochel. He certainly wouldn't. So what, when a Meshumad eats it, so then he would be loka? Because that would be lav sheyesh b'maisa? No. When a Meshumad is ochel, korban Pesach, according to the Rambam, if indeed it is a chiyuv, maybe it isn't. Because he's so far gone anyway, for him it doesn't have that connotation. Or, maybe he does trigger the Yisr, but he triggers the Yisr because he's being machel himself. Because he's not appreciating the true nature, the authentic nature of this korban. This affects so many halakhos have to do with this particular issue. Oh, so having said that, let's go back to what we're talking about. Right. Let's look at the factors for a moment. Let's say, even according to the Smag, right? Oh, what do we say? What is one of the things that Michas Chinuch says? This is, you know, a distinction between Yisrael and Benoch. That's on the list of Shechem and Benoch. But it's much more than that. Right? That's not just a technical reason to explain why it doesn't Shechem and Benoch. That's what Sam was saying. It's not just technical. Really, the fact that this is a mitzvah where Klal Yisrael are obligated is the reason that Ben Noach is prohibited. Because the whole nature of this korban is the distinctiveness of Kedushas Yisrael. Not as discrimination, but as part of the package of Taryag Mitzvos and everything that goes along with it. So while the Michas Chinuch means it one way, in a Hanami, this is not a regular din of Shemiz B'nei Noach. But in another respect, I'm trying to say, if you were just saying what I said before, which is, if it's not B'kol Mokom B'kol Zman, and it doesn't apply to Klal Yisrael in any way, so it's not a standard of life, of spiritual life, maybe there's no Azarasa Zui Misaso. But what I'm trying to say now is, and now I want to expand to the Rambam. Michas Chinuch said, but according to the Rambam and the Chinuch, right, there's no way to explain this death penalty. I'm not so sure. I think it's in the nature of what Korban Pesach is that violating, being moel, you know, trespassing into Kedushas Yisrael is a very serious offense. Maybe even for the Rambam, even though he's not mitzvah. So the whole Hahu Arma story, I think that's what Sam you were trying to say, right? Yeah. I'm just, you know, you said it Balash and Katsara, you know, and, you know, since there were, I didn't know about the Girsa, you know, so there's Talmido. So I'm just expanding on it. So this, I think, is the yisod of what's going on in the story and why this was so offensive. Again.
Reverse this way?
Yeah.
Can Rebbe hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because I can't hear Rebbe, but hold on a second.
You can't hear me? Oh, and Avram had a question also, and somebody else. Had... We'll get to the questions first, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on, sorry.
We can hear you very well. Like amazing. It's like almost miraculous how well we can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I had issues hearing Rebbe, so. Is the source for the Rambam that anyone who violates and trespasses Kedushas Yisrael's Chayv Misa from Shabbos, or is there some other source for that? Or is it just obvious?
Well, the Rambam didn't say that, you know, Hahu Arma is Chayv Misa.
Well, the Rambam has to learn the Gemara.
Right, he does. But what I'm saying is, as we saw, there are different ways to learn the Gemara.
So I'm saying
the following. What I'm saying is, the Minchas Chinuch says, if you hold like the Rambam and the Chinuch, right, there's no place to begin to explain this. Unless you say, again, one of the peripheral things. He violated, you know, they checked into him, they found out he did other things, right? Or the Netziv, or there was Gezel. You can explain those ways. What I'm trying to contribute is that actually, what I'm saying is, ironically, in a certain way, the Rambam, who appears to be Mekel in one respect, vis-a-vis, because it's Machel, not Ochel, vis-a-vis the Nachri, but I'm not sure, and we'll add, and there's no Malkus Kutz, Alav Shem B'maisa, but in a way, the reason for that, and what it highlights about the Korban, is makes it more offensive. Dafka. I mean, it justifies the offensiveness of it. Whether Ad Kedekach, that the Rambam would say, aside from these kind of other answers or things like them, that it would trigger a death penalty, he doesn't say. So I don't know. But I can conceive of it. Or even if it's a Rosh Shah. But like, you know, what was so bad? You know, the answer is it's particularly offensive, Korban Pesach. And what I'm also saying is, and certainly according to the the other, the smag and those, etc., not because Azarasa Zumi Sasso, they trampled on a core societal norm, you know, which always triggers Misa. But here, for some very totally different reason, Dafka, because this is, you know, trampling on the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. Again, I don't want to get into Goyshe Shabbos, which is all a similar kind of a thing in a way. Also not the Shabbos B'nai Noah and a few other ones like that. Also would have to do. You just asked me, like, does it come from Shabbos? Like, O.C.? Like, so Goyshe Shabbos is a kind of a parallel in some respects. But the Emunah aspect of it and the historical you know, experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach and all those things, I think, are part of this mix. So I'm not so interested in proving, you know, the Misa, but as much as I am in trying to highlight what is so objectionable about this story. Okay? Avram, you had a question from before?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay. And there was, you had a question? Go. Yeah. Say that again?
Is Rebbe also saying that the Neshuma would get Malkos, or just that the Isser would be the self?
I'm saying, Dafka, that there is no evidence, even if that the Meshumet is Asur Le'achol at all, and I can conceive, they say, well, Koshkin, how can that be? I can conceive a situation, say, like, you know, he's a Meshumet, for him, you know, he's kind of already, you know, insensitive. You know, I would say he's a Tinuk Shanishba, but, like, you know, this doesn't have that effect. But for somebody who's a good member of Klal Yisrael and who's supposed to partake in the Korban Pesach, to be so insensitive as to give it to a Meshumad, right, even if he's part, I'm not talking about a Tinuk Shanishba Meshumad, which may not be Meshumad, that, you understand what I mean? I'm saying that, number one, it's conceivable to me that the Meshumad actually wouldn't violate and the Ma'achil would. Number two, I'm saying, and even if you say the Meshumad would violate, I'm thinking that the Meshumad violates not because he's Ochel, but because he's Ma'achil Le'atzmo. And as a member of Klal Yisrael, you know, that's what's offensive, in which case it doesn't affect Kihuzeh, you know, the law of Sheish Malkus situation. Assuming if that's based on the nature of the law, you know, rather than the kium, you know, ha-veira, how you actually implement it, which I'm assuming for the Rambam, for other reasons. Yeah.
According to the Rambam, the Chumash considers Asur to be a non-Jew.
Yeah.
Would there be a chiyuv to stop
non-Jew from eating? Would there be a chiyuv? I'm not sure. I mean, because it's not lo yeyachel, you know. It's kol, you know, benecha lo yochabo. So again, I my guess is that it's more about, if the focus is not, that's kind of what we were talking about before. If the focus is more on what this reflects about you, you know, you have Korban Pesach and this is what you're doing with it, you know what I mean? Then maybe not. If it's, oh, standing by and seeing, you know, Korban Pesach eaten, you know, improperly, given its stature and symbolic function, I think it's an open question. My guess is likely not. You know, I'm comfortable just saying not, but I'm not sure. It could be that it would be. Yeah. Say again? Oh, that year. Uh-huh. Well, that's a question anyway, even for, I guess they're getting him for previous years, right? I mean, he didn't do anything this year. So I guess you could say for the Netziv, that's, they got him for being Nichnas Batumah or whatever. Well, I mean, he did eat all the other years, right? I mean, it's a curious point that I hadn't thought of it, that you're making. Well, I mean, I think, Interesting. I don't know. I mean, did other people see him? I hear it's called. It's interesting that the Minchas Chinuch doesn't address that. But I hear it. I'm not sure. I hear that. Okay. Oh, it's late. I'm sorry it's taking so long. Good. So that's what I wanted to say about number one, Shemes B'nei Noach, and this interesting question, what's on the list, what's not on the list? What's the significance and symbolism of being on the list? And of these factors. B, you know, what does this have to do with Korban? Is this a Korban Pesach halacha? If so, how does it relate to the Rambam, Chinuch, Smag, Tosa Rosh, etc.? In general, this idea that Korban Pesach, you know, is particularly sensitive to, you know, obliterating, you know, the distinctiveness of Jews and non-Jews, you know, something which might be fine in other contexts. I mean, non-Jews can partake in certain karbanos, as we know. I mean, the rules for that are interesting too. But, and, you know, of course, and there are holidays where we even symbolically bring karbanos, you know, in connection with, you know, the well-being of non-Jews and Chag HaSukkos. So really what I'm going to try to highlight is an aspect of this discussion. Okay, that's number one. Number two is the issue that Tosas discusses. I guess I don't know if I'm going to finish completely, but we'll try. What's the issue that Tosas discusses? Yeah. Why Rabbi Ben Seira not? Why wasn't he there for the Korban Pesach? Okay, so what it's also say? Everybody just read it very quickly.
So Rabbi Ben Seira, Shalom Allah, Meragel, the Yishma Shalom Ayelok Haka.
Shalom Ayelok Haka, Ozakin Hayashin Yachol Aleph Meragel. The Patrim Pesach, Kno Meriir. Inami, Nitzivin Chotzlaretzi, Kedemuchach Bezefri, Parshas Re'e.
Okay, what do you make of that?
So it's interesting that he assumes that the Peturim for Re'iyah also cover a person for their Chiyah Korban Pesach.
This is a big Kiddush about number one, that all these are Peturim for Re'iyah. Some of them are Chutzlar, because that's so clear. Anyway, right? But particularly this identification of the conditions of Olas Re'iyah for Korban Pesach is an issue in the Pesach. Right? And who highlights this?
The Mishnah.
Yeah. What does the Mishnah say?
The Mishnah Lamalach asks, he says that the Tosas' comparison shouldn't work.
The Peturi Chagiga, the Tosas cites, the Peturi Olas Re'iyah should not be relevant to Korban Pesach. And he assumes that the Rambam disagrees. He points out, number one, that there's a discrepancy between Olas Re'iyah and Korban Pesach, namely?
Women's Chagiga.
Even though they're Peturos, they read. Okay, I don't know whether that's the strongest point, right? You can distinguish between gavuras who are included and the conditions of the car. Right? It almost sounds like the Mishnah Malach is wondering whether Korban Pesach is, according to Tosas, a subset, like an exotic, you know, shlomp, or it's under the rubric of shlomp. And how could it happen if you have a guy who, you know, is excluded from one, who's included in the other? And then later on, the same Mishnah Melech wonders, according to Bali Tosis, is it only these three conditions? Or is there an absolute hekesh, right, between, you know, Re'iyah and Korban Pesach? Correct? This is all in the Mishnah Melech Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. So my suspicion is that the Mishnah Melech had a bit of an extreme Well, we shouldn't say extreme. Let's say he had a certain understanding of what Tosis was saying. And I guess, you know, in the extreme, what that understanding might be is that Korban Pesach is under the rubric of Re'iyah, meaning, you know, there's a Korban Re'iyah three times a year. And on Pesach, you know, the Re'iyah obligation also incorporates or subsumes Korban Pesach. So then this question of, and what about other things? And what about, you know, Gavras who are Mechuyev, etc., becomes more of an issue. Now, is there such a basis? Can you say such a thing? Maybe. You know, I would say, number one, it's interesting to note that the din of Lina, which is, you know, you can't just leave right away, comes from the parish of Korban Pesach. Right, and there's actually discussions in Rishonim whether, you know, maybe it's limited. Why? How do you know it isn't limited only to? And whether or not maybe there are some particular dinim, you know, that you know remain unique, you know, to Pesach. Now, again, that doesn't have to be connected to some sort of intrinsic link between the Re'iyah part, the generic Re'iyah, you know, and the specific application of that to Korban Pesach and Re'iyah as well. But it certainly is possible. It's certainly possible that that's what it is. And it wouldn't be coincidental, again, based on the Psukim and other things, if that were the case. In Perashat Mishnayos, as we know, the Rambam, you know, trying to explain the order of the Masechtas, you know, in Hagdama to Perashat Mishnayos, it says, well, Pesach is the first Moed, and it comes right after Shabbos. You know, and in the Parsha in Emor, you know, there's Shabbos, and then there's Pesach, right? So in that respect, in general, it's interesting to think about again, according to that, you know, accentuate even some of the more general dinim, you know, that apply to other Yom Tovim, or in this case to other regalim, you know, like this is the uber, you know, regel or moed. I've always thought about this in the sense of, you know, heter ochel nefesh comes from Pesach, right, from Parshas Bo. Ach asher yochel ochel nefesh. Right, lo sasa malacha achasher yochel lechol nefesh hu levado yaseh lachem. So that's the only pasuk in the Torah that is explicit that Yom Tov has a heter ochel nefesh. According to the Ramban, right, when the Torah says malachas avoda, you know, in other places, that's a shorthand reference, you know, to kind of invoke that pasuk in Bo. And therefore it applies to other things. But the Arayim already asked the question. I think the Ramach asked this question in the name of the Arayim in the beginning of the Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov, if I remember correctly. And that is, how do you know that Heter Ochel Nefesh applies to other Yom Tov? Maybe it is actually limited to, since it's only explicated in Pesach. Again, Ramban, you know, thinks the answer is Malach Savoda, the Arayim. You know, said, oh, hukshu kolamodim zelazeh. You know, it's an interesting question. Meaning, as the first, is it also the paradigm? You know, and if so, maybe its re'iyah, right, is different. And maybe its re'iyah includes or subsumes, or if not that, at least maybe it has some sort of an impact, even on Korban Pesach. That might be one way to look at what Tosis is saying. And that's why the Mishnah Melech may be looking at it that way, is saying, well, then how do you explain any discrepancy? Isha, you know, are you gonna apply the Hekesh, you know, totally across the board, etc. Indeed, some of the Achronim, interestingly, suggest that they don't say it exactly this way. Not sure what they have in mind. But they do say what? What does Tzlach say? Do you saw Aaron? Yeah, the Tzlach says that really, 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 again, where the Mishnah Melech understands it is, I mean, one more time, is that the dinim that apply to Re'ia apply to Korban Pesach. Okay? And that's why I'm wondering whether he really thinks, whether he understands Tosis to be saying, you know, that it isn't, you know, subsumed under and a part of, or at least fused with, Re'ia. The Tzlach does not go that far for sure, right, Aaron? But what he is saying is that anybody who is excluded from the obligation of Re'ia is mimela not obligated, kumbase, to go up to bring a Korban Pesach either. So what Tosis really means, it doesn't sound this way in Tosis to me, by the way, right? But the way Tzlach is reading Tosis is, when Tosis says, you know, Zakein and Chutzlaretz and you know, and so on and so forth, all the things Tosis is saying, what Tosis really means is to explain why Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was not Ola L'Regel. Having not been Ola L'Regel, Mimela, he wasn't obligated in Korban Pesach. Okay? That's a little different than saying that Korban Pesach is a subcategory of Aliyah L'Regel. It sounds like these are two independent things. However, anybody who's not Chayav Aliyah L'Regel is independently not Chayav Kumbase, right, to bring a Korban Pesach.
I thought he wasn't even saying that. I thought he was saying that it happens to be that Rehuda Ben Seir was Bederech Rechoka. But if you have someone who's not Bederech Rechoka, but who had one of the other Peturim of Aliyah L'Regel, they would be Chayav and Korban Pesach.
Could be. I mean, this the Amnezer says something like that.
I thought that the Tzlach says that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Seir was Pater is because Zayin Okushya Devada Hei Bederech Rechoka Upater. So he's saying, and the Tosas is only addressing the Re'ia question because it's Pasha that he was just Pater because of Derech Rechoka.
You think that's what Tzlach means?
Yeah, he says like Tosas doesn't even ask a Kash about Korban Pesach because he was Bederech Rechoka. So he was certainly Pater from
Korban. Why didn't they just say Bederech Rechoka?
He says that's not even Tosos' question. They think it's obvious. He says that Pokazi should trilos kushes at Tosos, loya lahakshos lamalo aler.
I thought it's because once you've established that there's no chiyav aliyah l'regel, then of course there's no independent chiyav of Korban Pesach.
I thought he says like Tosos doesn't even have a kasha about Korban Pesach because it's just the simple din of derech rechoka. And then he says Tosos.
Right. So what Tosis is addressing is only why he wasn't there for Aliyah L'Regel. Of course, right. If he'd been there for Aliyah L'Regel, then he would have been Bederech Rechoka.
Right.
Listen, so basically what Tzlach is saying is that there's no independent obligation for anyone to kumvasei, come to Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, in order to be makar the Korban Pesach. It's only if he's there and he's not Bederech Rechoka. Right? That's what Tzlach is saying.
Right,
and whether he's there or not there, the real question is Aliyah L'Regel. But Aliyah L'Regel clearly is a kumbase obligation, right? Again, that's very different from what I just said in the name of the Mishnah Melech, right?
I mean, he's going to say for sure that if you have someone who is in Yerushalayim but has one of the other Peturim of Re'ia, he's certainly
fine. I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, okay. You think that's for sure? Uh-huh. Okay, that's Avni Nezer in Or Chaim Shimon Lamed Vav Sivkatan Tezayin does say, and I think he's working with the Tzlach, that if you happen to be in Yerushalayim, even though you don't own land, let's say, that you would be obligated in Korban Pesach. Because everything just depends, Lamaisa, whether you're Bederek or Choka, right, or not. I thought you could say something in between those two things. But okay. Either way, the Minchas Chinuch is strongly opposed. Tovia? Tovia's here. Oh, there's Tovia. Sorry. Yeah. What does Minchas Chinuch say? He takes on this tzlach. And he says what? He says the notion, go ahead, that there's no kumvas. Did you see it? The notion that you don't have any obligation, kumvase, to be involved in Korban Pesach, he said that's like impossible, even offensive. He says it's gara from what? From going out and buying dalet mina? I mean, it's like what? It's tzitzis. A very fascinating question. Right? That's why if you want to say, oh, it's part of the subsumed aliyah l'regel, you know, and if there's a patur aliyah l'regel or if there's no chiyav aliyah, that actually is not what the Minchas Chinuch is addressing. But the Minchas Chinuch understood that the tzlach, the important thing in the tzlach is there's no chovas hagavra at all to come for and the Minchas Chinuch himself says what? Disagrees. Right? And he thinks, you know, no, that's not, you know, not time you saw the Minchas Chinuch?
Yeah.
What's his take?
On
and Tosas?
He doesn't like Tosas.
Yeah, he leaves a Bitzar Chiyon. But it's inconceivable to him that there's no Chovas Hagavra of Korban Pesach. Again, the Mishnah Melech, I just add one other point, doesn't mention. I would also add that it's curious, you know, to prove that the Rambam doesn't hold like the Balei Tosas, the Rambam immediately tells you that Bederek Rechoka, that Onus, that Tomei, that these are Peturim and Korban Pesach. Of course, he never speaks about, you know, Karka Bearer, Karka, or Kniya, or Bailus Bekarka, or being in Eretz Yisrael, or the other factors. With regard to the Derek Rokoka question, though, the Mishnah Melech makes a suggestion which he is then docha. Eitan, namely, he says, well, maybe it's different than Derek Rokoka. Why? You see that in the Mishnah Melech? Because maybe if you're not even in Eretz Yisrael, he says, what's Eretz Yisrael got to do with anything? The category is Derek Rechoka. Right? Hey, Tan, you got it? You have it there? Yeah. So he says, well, maybe if you're in Chutz Laretz, then there's not even a Chovas Pesach Sheni. Whereas if you're Bederek Rechoka, you know, you're potter mi Pesach Rishon, but you're still chai mi Pesach Sheni. This, of course, very interesting, especially in light of the ha'ara that we already made about Shitas HaRambam. In the Rambam's view is that Derek Rechoka and Tomei, I'm going to stop in 1 minute, the Derek Rechoka and Tomei are hafkos. Rambam thinks that there's a difference between ones and shogeg, where, you know, you're potter mikares, but you're not only chayiv b'pesach sheni, but then if you're mezid b'pesach sheni, you'll be chayiv kares again. But derek rechoka is mufka, so you're never going to be chayiv kares, even for mezid b'pesach sheni, but you are still chayiv b'pesach sheni. And basically the Mishnah Melech is suggesting, well, maybe that's a difference. Maybe there are three gradations. If you're not even in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no Chiyuv of Pesach Sheni. Right? If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you know, but you're B'derech Rechoka, right, then there's Pesach Sheni, but there's no Kares. If it's Onus and Shogeg, right, then there's Pesach Sheni, and there could be Kares but Pesach Sheni, depending on the circumstances. So as a Mishnah Melech, but I think it doesn't make sense. Correct? Eitan? But actually the Netziv suggests that. The Netziv says if you are not in Eretz Yisrael, then there's no Chiyuv Pesach Sheni. If you're B'derech Rechoka within Eretz Yisrael, there's Pesach Sheni. Oh. But what emerges is a very fundamental debate. You know, A, the possibility that the Chiyuv of Korban Pesach is linked in some way to Aliyah L'Regel and is a subcategory of it. That's one possibility for Tosis. B, that if the no, they're totally independent, but maybe the Peturim that apply to Aliyah L'Regel apply independently for the same reason they apply to Aliyah L'Regel. Maybe they apply to Korban Pesach. What would be the reason behind that? Let's say these are factors that, you know, determine whether or not you're refraining from going to Eretz Yisrael to fulfill this particular mitzvah, maybe, constitute a kind of bittul, or simply a justified ikiyum mitzvah. Maybe that's the point. In one case, your passivity is really an activity, right? Your neglect is a bittul. And maybe in other cases it's not. So it's not so much that, or something like that. In other words, it's not that this is a subcategory of Aliyah L'Regel. It's that whatever makes these factors in Aliyah L'Regel significant, they apply to Korban Pesach. But if that's the case, then the problem of Isha or other, there may be certain dinim of Aliyah L'Regel that are unique to that mitzvah. And there are others that could be common also to a chi of Korban Pesach. That's a second approach. Third approach is the idea that this is a kind of a derech rechoka, meaning there's no chiyuv to be Korban Pesach at all. There's a chiyuv aliyah l'regel, and if there are pturim, then there's no chiyuv aliyah l'regel. But there's no chiyuv to, you know, to go to Eretz Yisrael to be then subject to aliyah l'regel. That is the tzlach. And the fourth, connected to that, I believe, is the Netziv, who takes it a step further and says that not only that, but there's no Chiyuv Pesach Sheni either. It's qualitatively different from the Derech Rechoka, I'll add, even the Derech Rechoka of the Ram. However, the Mishnah Melech thinks the whole thing is completely wrong, and the Minchas Chinuch, even for Tosis, doesn't buy any of it. Minchas Chinuch says, of course you have a Chiyuv Kumvase, you know, to go and to participate and to take part, you know, in Korban Pesach. I wonder whether or not this question of, you know, again, but then what emerges in the Achronim, and maybe in the Rishonim here, is an interesting argument, namely, when you look at the Chi of Korban Pesach and the Peturei Korban Pesach, kind of, which is the default? Is there like a chichovas hagavra automatically to participate in Korban Pesach? It's an urgent chiyuv hamitzvah. Yeah, say sheish bokares. You know, ad kedekach, that the default is if you don't go, you're neglecting it. Not just an asay. That's what's so striking about this whole discussion. The asay sheish bokares may imply that, you know, missing this opportunity is like, you know, being mevatalit. And that's one perspective, and it certainly works better with the Asay Sheish Bakar, as I said. That's one way to look at the Asay Sheish Bakares. And that, I think, is what animates the Minchas Chinuch, you know, or I'm super turbocharging the Minchas Chinuch. Not only what he's, it's not only Dalet Minim, it's more. It's Asay Sheish Bakares. Or no. And maybe the Asay Sheish Bakares works in the other way, which is it shows you that only Bittul, for an Asay, you wouldn't get Karis. If it's considered to be Bittul, Korban Pesach, it's almost like, you know, a Kumbase, and you get Karis for that. But then you really have to be Mevatel Korban Pesach. You know, are you Mevatel Korban Pesach if you're not even close? Or if you're infirmed? Or you know, you don't have even the, you know, the conditions that make Aliyah L'Regel, you know, obligatory? All those things say, you're not being mevatel. It's not chadal, maybe the language of chadal, I've always thought. Chadal asosis ha-pesach. Sounds like, you know, you're mevatel the korban pesach. It's the expectation of its importance, you know. So which is it? Is it mevatel because you have a chovas agavra because it's so important? Or is it only mevatel when you're really mevatel and that's really the only thing that concerns us? Okay. To what extent, and this I'm going to stop, does the question of the nature of Korban Pesach enter into this in both senses? Number one, what we talked about before, it being a Korban Amuna, etc. But also the fact that it has, I've said before as well, it has a very unique status. It's somewhere in between a Korban Yachin and a Korban Tzibur. It's brought to Nufya, right? And you know, it's brought, the category is a category of Minui and Chabura, right? At the same time, it's sometimes called Korban Tzibur, sometimes called Korban Yachin. And is this factor, that it is on the one hand a Korban Tzibur, on the other hand, and not exactly a Korban Tzibur, is that a reason to take the Minchas Chinuch type approach? Or Dafka to take the Tzlach type of approach? Not sure. Not sure. So I want to talk a little more about that. Moreover, as we said, in a way, Korban Pesach's Tzibur component is critical to this whole idea, too. And that might explain also the Eretz Yisrael factor. In addition, like Meir mentioned to me this the other day, that he heard this from Rav Schachter, but something which I've also thought for many, many years. That is, why would Eretz Yisrael per se be a factor, aside from like an expansion of Derech Rechoka or Hagdara of Ikium versus Bittul, like you're not in the zone, you're not in the place even. Oh, like an expanded Derech Rechoka. Maybe, and this is what I want to pursue for a couple of minutes, because Korban Pesach, the Asay Sheish Bakares, which also requires Bris Milah, is kind of a counterpart on the Tzibur level to Bris Milah. There's a lot of evidence of that, including what I said before about it being a requirement of Geirus, mainly of Knisa LeKlal Yisrael. Okay, so I want to talk about very briefly about that part of it. If you get a chance to see that Maram Shik, and then we move on to the Avelis discussion very quickly, the Zrizin discussion, and being Mafsik or Matchil Bizman Bedikas Chametz, and then start looking at, you know, Alamasker or Alasocher. Okay?